This is a show about facing fear, unlocking courage, and taking action.
Courage isn't necessarily a daunting thing.
It's going to give you more purpose. It's going to give you more drive.
It feels like making a courageous decision is going to get you closer to who you aspire to be.
It's knowledge plus faith plus action equals courage.
I learned that being an outlier and kind of a small fish that punches up is really important. We would constantly poke at CNBC to the point where they like started to pay attention. The minute that they notice you and start to get like upset, like you kind of win.
All right, I'm not going to lie. I've been looking forward to this conversation because it's like, take one of your people from the East Coast, move them to the West Coast, and like they get to experience what you've experienced. And how I've always felt about, and this is for anyone that doesn't live in San Diego, is imagine you keep your motor running at 100 miles an hour, but then you bring it to a market that is not running at the same speed as you. And this sounds more devious or more monetary than I mean, but I do think the streets are paved with gold in San Diego. It is an awesome place to live. People are nice. You know, coming from like New York City, it's not that people, I don't even know if like people are jerks. They're just busy all the time. So Melissa Rosenthal, thank you first of all for joining me. How are you?
I'm good. I am busier than ever, but I'm great, doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, do you feel that way? Like, do you feel like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I got to learn and do all the things in New York. Not that you're just done learning in San Diego, but like you take all of that here.
Yeah.
And how long have you now been doing this from San Diego?
About 2.5 years.
So for the listener, let's say they're like, who's Melissa Rosenthal? How would you answer that? Give me like 1 minute on your New York life and what brought you to San Diego.
Yeah. So I would say New York, you know, like really shaped me. I grew up there in a sense and in many different ways. I am actually from Long Island, but I moved to New York for college and everything I experienced in New York, like really kind of raised me to be the person that I am. And I think it's just the opportunities that you have there are just very much like unfiltered and it's everything and everyone in all places at every moment in time.
And at every time, at any time.
Yeah, at any time, for sure. But yeah, I think, you know, New York was just like such a very important part of my life and like why I am who I am today. And like the ability to see what people can achieve too. And like the, I would say, limitlessness of like everything there, you know, really definitely had a huge impact.
College, no college.
I went to college, but I graduated in 3 years because I was like, I want to be out in the real world and like actually working and not in school. School kind of was just felt like just delaying what I wanted to do.
And then did you know right away that city, like you were going to the city or that you're going into creativity? Give me a little bit of that.
I'd always been like really into like creative things like marketing and on in my like free time, I would often kind of do like, you know, trying to get ahead of the curve and like what technology was happening and how to market in different places. So I was like working with companies to market on MySpace and just like figuring out the web, I thought was really exciting. And there's just, I felt like there was just so much opportunity even at that stage. So it was more just kind of like, I've always been a creative person and always tried to express myself creatively. And then, you know, finding something that was, I could believe in would be the future of something. And then also being able to express myself in like a very authentic way was really important. And that kind of like was the perfect fit for me.
Probably the toughest question I'll ask on the day. Did you go quarter share, half share, full share in the Hamptons in the summer?
Oh God, no, I was not one of those people. I kind of rejected that. I'd go out there when my friends would want me to go out there, but I didn't like, oh yeah, no, that's really not my vibe.
It's different though, because you're from Long Island. I could see why you feel that way. You're like, that's probably like, let me just get out of here.
Yeah.
Did you think, and then maybe this is an unfair question, when you moved to this into the city, in your mind, you're like, home, I will be here and here we go for the rest of my life?
Yeah. I mean, it's like once you're there and you just like see everything like that you have access to, especially as like you climb the ranks in a company, you just kind of like, there's no other place like this in the country. And you almost kind of like, you know, it's a New Yorker thing to do, where you judge other people that aren't from like the city, and you're like, oh, you don't live in Manhattan, like who are you? You know, like you kind of forget there's like other things out there, because it's just like so, it draws you in. It draws you into its own world. It's such an interesting thing to talk about, because like it's such like the center of the universe when you're there. And it feels like anyone that isn't like in that universe isn't like living, or they don't understand like rigor or like hard work. It's like so weird. You just kind of get yourself into this like mental state of like dealing with the things that aren't so great about it, because there's so many amazing things about it.
I gotta tell you now, it is the ultimate, like, gave me confidence that I could do anything. It really is. Like, if you can survive that and stay, I've definitely described New York City as like a treadmill on 10.0. Like, it just doesn't stop for anybody. And if you can get on it and not bust your chin, you're good. And by the way, it's just as hard to get off.
Yeah.
Right. So when you finally decide to get off, tell me how this came to be and like, how did this idea present itself of San Diego?
Sure. Yeah. So New York, I was New York for life. I wanted to live there. We were actually thinking about buying a place there. And then COVID happened, as like, I would say this happened to many people. And a lot of my friends retreated to like their families, like Hamptons houses. And then they moved away or they went to Florida. And I was just like kind of in the city with my husband. And it was like, wow, like I could definitely do something different. And we were at this really, I was at this really interesting inflection point in my career where we had just sold our company. So I had been, you know, like I had just left and we were going to start a SaaS business, me and my husband ourselves. And like things were doing really well. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, pandemic hit and no one's spending money and like advertising is not happening. And just everything kind of changed for us. And I was like, you know what? I think I want to finally like actually go into tech and like lead something creative within tech. Started like looking around and there were a few companies I was looking at and there were two that I was deciding between and both were on the West Coast. And I was just finally open to that after, I guess, like seeing New York in a different way and seeing everyone leave it so quickly. I think that was also the thing. It was like, you know, you talk to other people that are from there and like, it's like, well, I would never leave New York. New York's everything. And then the minute that things get a little bit tough, like everyone just like leaves. And then you're like, what are you like? Okay, wait, I could leave too. And it was just, you know, I think everything kind of happens for a reason. And I made a choice and it was a great choice for me. And I was afraid that San Diego would like make me soft, but you know, it has.
Look, this is where I wish I had video for people, because we're both like laughing and smiling. Like, this is my biggest fear. Okay. Is that, and again, I've been here now for a long time, which is why, since I want to make sure you like, I bottle up whatever you're really feeling here. My big thing now, I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. And my big worry is like, I have to manufacture character building moments in this city.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like if I could start the morning and like take a box of tacks and throw them across the kitchen floor just to like have build like some character building moments for them. Yeah. So when you say, I'm afraid I'm going to get soft, I get it. Do you still feel that way now?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that's like just such like a, you know, in your own head, you know, you take yourself with you where you go. And I think like that's such a like an important lesson. And that means like happiness too, you know, just making a change to your environment doesn't necessarily change everything. But if you have the balance of what you're looking for, it certainly can be great. So, you know, the balance of like, hey, when I'm not working, I can go take a hike by the water. Like that's pretty amazing. And like in New York, you know, there's walking, but it's like you're going from, this is how I would describe it. First of all, your winters are terrible. You have a couple of months, a couple of nice days. You're working most of that time. And then like the rest of the time, you're kind of going from like box to box. That's how I describe New York. It's box to box to box to box, like different sizes of boxes. And that's kind of like the vibe. But like here, it's like, you know, there's just so much more than that. And I also like, I like nature and it's just beautiful here. And like, you know, I think there's just an element of that really added like a mental balance to my life outside of like just going from box to box.
This may not be a fair question, but if you could go back to the conversations with your husband in New York and you've got these two options, Mm-hmm. One's in San Diego, somewhere else. The second one, I'm assuming, is Northern California or maybe the Northwest. I mean, I'm sure he also gets to say, but like, how did the two of you, what were you like, what were the pros and cons for you, if you remember, of like San Diego?
I mean, I had never been to San Diego before. I actually romanticized LA and I thought I would end up there. And then I'm really glad I didn't, because I really don't like LA. I like live there. Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't, it was kind of this, like, I go with my like knowing and my heart and like what is like the right decision. And like this company felt right and the opportunity felt right. And San Diego like was kind of like a, okay, I'm sure this is great. We're moving to California. So I didn't really know what I was actually about to like, where I was actually about to live or anything about San Diego. So I moved here blind in the middle of COVID pretty much. And then, you know, from there, like it was kind of just exploring it slowly. I was working a lot. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a thought. It was kind of just like, this feels right.
What have you learned so far about San Diego?
That you can have both the best of both worlds with, like, you know, being able to work really hard with people that also work really hard, and then also having like just like genuinely like good conversations with good people and like being nicer. I'm a much more patient person, I'd say. I'm a nicer person. I first got here and people were like being nice to me at Starbucks and I was like, why is this happening? Like, why are you talking to me? Like, literally, that's the wall I had built up in New York, because it was just like, I'm focused on me and I don't care about you. And that changed a lot here. And I'm just like a much nicer, more patient person. And I like that's who I've become. So San Diego definitely like taught me that. And it also just taught me that like, there's a lot of like, I mean, the fact that I didn't know that this existed within our, like, you know, the US, it's pretty interesting. I also feel like, you know, coming from New York, I'm very judgmental about it. I'm like, why don't they have this? Because it feels very stuck in like not stuck in the 70s, but it's just like, it hasn't evolved the way that like New York would evolve, you know, and at the speed and the pace. And it's kind of like, it's always just very shocking to me. Cause I'm like, I mean, yeah, I'm like, oh my God, why isn't there like, you know, all this retail here? Or why didn't they build a restaurant here? Or why are they, it's just like, I don't know. It's a very New Yorker thing of me, but yeah.
All right. Let's pivot to professional.
Okay.
So let's go back to, again, the Cliff Notes version of your New York trajectory that took you up to your last job. Like, give me this, like the rock is skipping across the pond. Where did you start? Where did you end in New York?
I started as an intern at a 10-person company called BuzzFeed at a very small loft in Chinatown that ended up turning into a really amazing opportunity. I went on to lead the global creative team there. And my team was around 150 people. The company was about 1,500 when I left, and I had been there about 6 years. And I went on to then co-start a company with my old president at BuzzFeed called Cheddar, which was a new live media news network that we built up and sold in 3.5 years to a cable company. So it was a wild ride. And it was really amazing that like I had both the like early startup that I was a part of that I could see develop from like my own personal development, but also from like the company growing and the industry growing, and like to really shape like an industry in two ways. We like revolutionized it with like how media was spread and how people shared content. And then also on the advertising side, it was really amazing for me. And also like made me believe that anything is possible. And I think like having that and not having like any sort of like doubts that like you can do something like that was really, really important for me and really kind of like led me on this path to then believe that I could go start this company with my old boss that would be successful, that we could sell. Like, it's just having that, like, you could go into it a million ways and be like, this won't be successful, or like there's this, or you hit roadblocks. And then I think once you've done it and you've like been able to successfully achieve it, then you kind of like have this block in your mind leaves. So yeah, so we sold that company. And then I was kind of like, oh my God, I don't really want to be in media anymore, and wanted to make the shift to SaaS, to tech. And, you know, this was the right opportunity, the right stage company for me. I wanted to go back, you know, after selling to a 15,000 person company, everything kind of changes if you're like the hungry startup person. And I wanted to be back in the weeds and back like in the grind, building something that could be meaningful. And also, I really felt like all of my experience building brands and kind of doing that in media would lend itself really well for me to do it in tech, because it hadn't been done in the way that I believed it could be. You know, that infusion of personality and humor into a brand that a B2B SaaS company to make it feel different and stand out and differentiated. So that's my rock skipping in a nutshell.
No, I love it. And I want to get to click up and I want to commend you because you could see your, I feel like I could see your, exactly what you explain of what you wanted to do. And you could feel the humanity, like these little touches. And again, I've got one of my buddies, name's Brian Kramer. He says there's no B2C or B2B. There's only H to H. Human to human.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right? Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's this. Yeah. That's
yeah. You know? I mean, you're still selling to people and like, you know, getting in front of them with the right understanding of what they need is one thing, but making an impression and having a vibrant, strong brand that stands out is also very important. So,
but let's go back to your New York days. And I want to go all the way back. I mean,
all the way back. Okay.
Yeah, we're going all the way back because I feel like I'm curious your take on, I mean, obviously, just the way you talk, I really appreciate how intentional you are and how thoughtful you are and like of what you want and trying to protect that. And obviously, we don't know it all. We're growing and we're trying to do the best we can and it can get messy.
Yeah.
Like, where are you on, you know, I just happen to be an intern at BuzzFeed, like, right. And to be able to see that. So in your mind, where is it like, well, hard work put me in that position. Like, Ryan, were you not paying attention when I said I graduated in 3 years because I was ready to get going? Mm-hmm. I'm curious what part of that is hard work that pays off versus what part of that is like, hey, thank you, universe, for putting me in this company that I could be part of the rocket ship. Like in your mind, what's the blend?
I mean, it's kind of like twofold, right? Like I could have joined a startup that wasn't successful, but at the same time, like the reason I wanted to be an intern there is because I saw the vision of what they were building and I was fascinated with it and I thought it could be the future. So putting myself in that position, like no one had heard of it. It was a 10-person experiment. So putting myself in that position to begin with and then working really hard, like I killed myself. I would stay up to like 4 a.m, like creating content and trying to figure out what goes viral. And I mean, like I threw everything I had into that internship to get hired. So it was a lot of, you know, a mix of both for sure. And then figuring out like where I could really shine within the company was also another like big part of it. Like I wanted to be on the business side. I wanted to be on the brand side. I wanted to lead a team. So like my first, you know, my foray into management and leadership and just like raising my hand at pretty much every single opportunity that I was given there was like a huge benefit because I was able to take on things that like, I mean, I was not qualified to take on and it pushed me and stretched me in ways that helped me really grow.
What percent of you are brand and what percent of you are leadership?
Ooh, great question. I like want to say 50-50 because like I love like leading. I think like I'm so passionate about building like a memorable differentiated brand. Like that like definitely fuels me. But obviously like the leadership and the team part of it, especially in like a creative role, is so important that if you're not passionate about leading and building a team to help you get there, then those two things don't work. So I think they're just very tied together.
So this is more a question. I have a question that I don't have answered and I'm curious to get your answer to this question versus I am a podcast host that asks lots of questions. So like I've been playing around with, I think you used to be able to get away being exceptional at one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could just be great at one thing and you're good. But now it's like look at Arcade Fire, like every one of them doesn't just sing, they play every instrument and they rotate, or like Taylor Swift, even if you want to go that way, the greatest basketball player on the planet doesn't just score, they play defense.
Yeah.
So like, do you feel that there's now this multiplier where you do have to be great at two things, not just one thing, to really grow?
Yes. I mean, I think in general, like you always have to kind of stretch yourself to like try to be great at different things to be able to like, yes, to grow yourself professionally and personally. But I also think like now we're in a phase where everything is so democratized, where like one thing doesn't set you apart anymore because everyone can do anything pretty much. Like you can build an app that would have taken you, you know, years to build in 2 months. So like the ability, you know, the democratization of like technology in general makes people need to work harder and to know and learn and grow more to be able to kind of stand apart 100%. And I think that's really interesting because it is like there are certain functions that like you hire for, but you stretch those functions. You do that in every role. It's like, yeah, you can do this, but this, now you have to do this. So yeah, I would agree with that, like 100%.
So how does that show up at ClickUp for you? Like, when are you wearing your creator hat, your brand hat, and when are you wearing your leadership hat? Or maybe it's intertwined, but like, does it depend on the group that you're talking to as well?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're talking to other stakeholders, it's more of like alignment, leadership. And then I'm talking to my team on a specific project and it's creative and brand hat. And then I'm presenting at, you know, an offsite or something and it's leadership, you know, and you bounce back and forth. And I think that's also like a really important skill to be able to have, which is like taking that hat off, like, and being able to switch constantly. And I honestly think that, so at Cheddar, I ran part of our brand, but I also ran sales, and being able to like, we structured it in a very like atypical way. So instead of having like SDRs and BDRs and, you know, all these different like types of roles, we had like a sales team. We had an account, the sales team was also the account management team. And we were also like the data and analytics team and the creative team, like everything was intertwined. So like we didn't have the luxury of like handing anything off. It was like, you just sign a multi-million dollar deal. Okay, this is like, you have to manage it. You have to create it. You have to deal with the clients. Like there was just like no buffer. And I think that like certainly shaped my way of being able to just like switch, because I had to switch all the time. It was like, okay, now I sold this and now I have to like actually create the entire thing, like a live program. So, you know, there's like, you know, it allowed me to be able to do that in like a, both a business and a creative way that I think, you know, benefited me long-term.
All right, so you're 3,000 miles away, exploring the idea of ClickUp.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. You have a knack for hunches, it sounds like. So give me the, okay, hunch tells me X, Y, and Z on why this is it, and this is it for me. Give me what the, you know what, I should even take a step back. For those who are listening, right, that don't know what ClickUp is, can you give like, 10 second intro, 30 seconds.
Yeah, of course. So ClickUp is an all-in-one productivity platform that allows you to bring all of your work into one place so that you can work with all of your teams and your entire organization in one tool, which allows for amazing visibility into projects, collaboration, just makes everything more productive and more efficient. And I couldn't live without it. So, you know, I love how passionate people are about it, because it really is like, honestly, the most game-changing platform for work I've ever experienced, and I've worked in a lot of them. So that was like my ex. You were gonna ask me my XYZ.
Yeah.
So after I give you my pitch, my ex is just the fact that the product is so superior to anything I've ever worked in, and a lot of the problems that we solve, I was dealing with in other organizations. So to see a product that I actually enjoyed being in was crazy to me. Like I need to like love what I'm like working in, right, and branding and building. So that was certainly that X. The Y was the team, young, hungry, kind of not resting on like Stanford degrees. Like they were just like building something that they were passionate about, that they knew would have legs. And just like the hustle and the work and the mentality of it was like very aligned. Like, you know, our CEO is a visionary and he's an amazing product leader and just like was building something incredible. And just like his personality too, and how vibrant he is as a person, allowed me to then be able to know that I could build the brand that I wanted to here and would have his support. And that obviously is a huge part of it, because if you're going to enter an organization and be like, I'm your chief creative officer, I'm going to be branding you and doing X, Y, and Z, and then like, you can't do anything, like, that happens a lot. I mean, I get a lot of leaders and they're like, how do you sell in X to your CEO? And I'm like, oh, I don't really have to, because he's on the same wavelength, which is so nice. So those were all things that made it really easy to say that this was a winner. And then also the company, you know, had grown to a significant amount of ARR without a dollar spent on marketing. So I'm like, oh, I get to add a little fuel to this fire. Like that was certainly enticing.
There's so much in there. You know, yeah. One, the fact that like it's a good product, right? It's like, right. I mean, what's the line? Nothing kills a shitty product better than great marketing. Right. And so like, here's the opposite. Like you actually have like,
A great product to market, which is just the, like, that's a dream, you know, right. And something that I'm passionate about personally, like, you know, HR software, like, would I be as passionate about that? I don't know. You know, this is just like, I'm all about it. So yeah, being able to market it is kind of like a dream come true.
And then was there, like, do you have a, it's not really a zinger, but like, do you have like a standard question that you knew you needed answered at the top? Like, or is it as simple as, am I going to have the freedom to build this?
Yeah. It's that. It's like, are you, everything you're saying is very aligned with like what my next step is, but am I going to be able to do it? And you know, I didn't come in there expecting I was going to have like a, you know, huge, huge marketing budget. I knew I could do things scrappy. Like I've always done it, but it wasn't about the budget. It was more about like, will you let me do this? Will you let me bring the people that I need to bring to make this a reality, to build my team, to do X, Y, and Z? And knowing that that was a real thing, like was a huge selling point.
And the founder is the CEO and his name is?
Yeah. Zeb Evans.
And how long into that first conversation were you like, oh yeah, this is my guy?
I mean, immediately, like we hit it off. Like we had one Zoom call, we hit it off. I talked to his other folks. I flew out to San Diego. I think the whole process probably lasted like less than 3 weeks. So it was like, it was kind of a knowing and an understanding and just like a general like alignment on work style and everything. And, you know, he was like, this is not a vacation. This is like, we're building this. And I was like, I know, like I've done this, like twice before. I understand what it takes to get there, and I understand the hard work and the sacrifice, and that's my career, and my career is my passion, and I'm on board.
And did your husband come out to visit with you, or did you come out the first time by yourself?
No, he came out with me, and we just like ended up looking at apartments like that week, and then we moved 2 weeks later. It was just like bam, like out. Yeah, like didn't even, I kind of like not giving myself time to think about things because then you think yourself into a hole. Like it's like, oh my god, I'm uprooting my entire life and everything I thought I'd be doing, and oh my god, like, but it felt right. It really did feel right. So I didn't really overthink it. I kind of just said, all right, let's do this.
Give me one thing you learned from the BuzzFeed experiment that you brought into this, one thing you learned from the Cheddar experiment that you brought into this, and then one thing you've learned from just the culture of San Diego that you had to sort of change that you brought into this.
Okay. So the BuzzFeed piece, I would say, is understanding how and why people share content with each other and what it takes to emotionally connect with someone across many different types of content. And that is maybe the most singular valuable thing I could have ever learned, because I've taken that every single place that I've gone and I've become an expert in it. And like building that model, like, was a huge just like part of my entire trajectory. Like there's no other way to put that. Like that's like the core of anything that everyone wants to know how to do that. So getting a masterclass in that was definitely like the thing.
Can you give us just a little taste of what that is? Like, what is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's an understanding of like, you know, how to connect with different audiences and what will go viral in different ways based on who will react to it, and how to tell stories in a way that can tie in humor to something that could be potentially more focused on a solution. So like, that's what I'm saying I took like from that to ClickUp. But at BuzzFeed, you know, we've just spent so much time experimenting with like what would go viral. And it's like, you know, things that people see themselves in and see the other people in will be, you know, they'll share things that they personally experience that they, you know that like others within their immediate vicinity. We used to do these posts like that went pretty viral at BuzzFeed. That would be, we started taking an approach like pair, like kind of like putting LA, pinning LA against New York. And it was just like, those would go incredibly viral. Because see, people are so passionate about the city that they live in, and they want to say that it's better than another city. And it's like those small things, and being able to like take nuggets and extrapolate from like learning that to then applying it across content in general is really like a cool thing.
All right, and then we Cheddar time.
Cheddar, I learned that like being an outlier and kind of a small fish that punches up is really important. Punching up is like incredibly important to growth. And there are a lot of ways you can punch up. At Cheddar, you know, one thing we did is we, you know, every other business news network, tech business news network is incredibly masculine looking from a branding perspective. It's like metallic or silver. or like it feels just like hard, like or and cheddar, we were like, no, we're gonna like make it pink and have a piece of cheese that actually isn't cheddar, so like people are gonna hate us about that and like troll us. And that was like purposeful because we're like, that's really funny, like we're just gonna be Swiss cheese and people will, you know, say what it is. So but kind of doing that, building like a brand that just didn't feel like every other brand out there for business news, and like super differentiating, have a very diverse cast of anchors talking about topics that young people actually cared about. So everything was kind of just like this contrarian like take on everything we would do. And then Punching Up was like, we would constantly like, you know, poke at CNBC to the point where they like started to pay attention, started to like get angry. And that was amazing. The minute that they notice you and start to get like upset, like you kind of win. So, you know, I think Punching Up and then also me being contrarian in the way that you approach things, that was the biggest takeaway that I took from Cheddar that I then applied also to ClickUp.
I also love, like, from a confidence standpoint, when you have a hunch of a strategy and it starts to pay off.
Yeah.
You know, you're not playing in a small sandbox, right? You're punching up, but you're punching up in like the biggest game in, you know, that there is.
And yeah, I mean, like, and luckily, like, you know, Zeb is so aligned to that strategy as well. And we've done like a lot of punching up here and it's been a lot of fun. And we've taken a lot of like really kind of fun bets on like how we punch up against our biggest competitors. And, you know, that was a great lesson to be able to take with me because it allowed me to do a lot here.
All right. And then what have you discovered about this market that is now you're like, oh yeah, we need to add a little bit of this into what we're doing?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like, again, I guess, as you know, you get you said X, Y, Z, but like this was another big piece. It's just felt like the grass was really green to be able to come in and build something that like had humor in it and like a tone and a personality and like a, wow, like they're best in class B2B marketing, you know? And like, I think that was just like the opportunity that I saw and being able to infuse humor into it. I was like, oh, wow, I've never seen like a B2B brand that's actually like funny. And like, why are they, and being funny in a smart way, not like stupid gag funny, like actually funny. And that's like, there's such a balance to strike, but I knew the team that I was bringing in, like could nail that. And that was very exciting. So being able to give our, you know, performance marketing, like a humorous tone and an approach, and our feature launches would have raps attached to them and just doing things that were like, kind of like, wow, what are they doing? Like, what's happening there? You know, like there's something going on, something in the water at that company.
I hear the zag to the zig, right? Like let's make sure. So it's interesting in each one of those examples. I mean, I try to be a compensated observationalist, right? Like that's kind of my role.
Yeah.
No different than what you're talking about, right? Like, hey, what's this thing that's going to really like make this thing go? Let's observe what's going to make it, which is BuzzFeed. Hey, our number one competitor, let's punch up to the point where it could, it's slow cooked, but they're going to eventually notice us. And start, right? Oh, wait a minute. They're punching back. That they're spending their money to talk about us.
Yep.
And here we are again as, hey, like, look at all these other B2B companies. Why are they soulless? Where's the humanity? Where's the fun?
Yeah. Right?
We could do this in a way that's funny, but not cheeky funny. Like, exactly. Is that your style? Like, you're like constantly doing the research and then working back from it so you can go forward?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of that. It's also like a bit of like, how can we approach this that's uniquely us? Because I think now we've developed it. I mean, when I first came in, it was like, okay, my North Star is really to humanize the brand and like have people feel like they're, you know, especially because we're enhancing people's productivity, which is such like a personal, like kind of best friend that like you could look at as like a, hey, this is like my best friend that helps me be more productive, work better, but it's also my, but they're also really funny and cool. And like, I like them. Like that's what you want. Like you want the marriage of like the product's amazing, but also like the feeling of using the product, and then also the marketing that brings you into the product, and you want all of that to feel like very, very interconnected.
Well, you know, for the viewer, this is the first time Melissa and I have ever jammed. Right, this is our first time we ever chat.
It's our first jam. Yep.
It's our first jam. Hashtag first jam. But mm-hmm. I will say, like, what's really evident to me is like you're prepared, you're cool, you know your shit. You're having fun. It sounds like you're having fun. Are you having a good time?
Yeah, I am. I mean, every, you know, the hardest days are kind of the most fun sometimes, you know, like it's appreciating the journey and like everything that you put into everything that you do to get you where you are. And I think like, I try to always remember that, like even when I'm having hard days, but yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. I mean, we're our biggest user conference of the year is happening on February 28th and we've all been heads down working on it. And it's been such like a rewarding experience and bonding and it's been, you know, amazing to work on that, even though it's been really challenging.
Oh, thank you for letting me take you away from like all of this. And I appreciate you finding the time. I guess I got to ask, is there something, you know, we always say that fear and courage are brothers,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we take a lot of pride in being fear fighters. So Is there a fear that you're presently sparring with? And by the way, you can like, this could be a click up. This could be personal life that you feel comfortable sharing.
Okay.
Is there a fear you're sparring with right now?
Oh, a fear I'm sparring with right now.
Work or life or all the above?
I think I'm constantly sparring, but I think that's good. I think there's always like being slightly uncomfortable is like a really natural thing because it allows you to experience things that you probably wouldn't have. And it allows you to grow in ways that you might not have. And that's like always, I'm like a very intense and passionate person. So I'm constantly like sparring with like everything, but it's like in a healthy way. It's not like I'm just like battling myself. It's just, it's constantly like doing that in a way that helps me grow.
Well, keep at it. You know, I would say stay courageous. Does it feel like you're courageous? Or does it feel more like you're curious?
I would say both. Both. I have like, you know, I've built up the confidence to be courageous and I'm I think perpetually curious. So I think it's a mix.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it. I should ask any last, like what do you got? You got like a last bow you want to give everybody?
What do I have? I think like, don't be afraid to step outside of your comfort zone because it will teach you probably more about yourself than you could ever imagine. And whether you fail or you fly or whatever happens, like you're going to learn and you're going to grow and you're going to have that experience. And I think I believe in like the collection of experiences in life is that like what makes your book, right? And like, I think I'm always building my book. And that's how I view my life.
Okay, here's my last bow, which I wasn't planning on doing. And there's zero part of this that's big leaguing in any way, shape, or form. Like, I'm so happy you're in this market. And I my mentors were always like, you're not in advertising, you're in creative business.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that stuck with me. I'm not a business guy, I'm not a creative, I'm doing both. And to see someone like you make a courageous choice to come to this market, mm-hmm. and like dig in and try to hit the podium on B2B companies, not just in San Diego, screw mm-hmm. Screw San Diego, mm-hmm. but it makes me really like, it's just, like I said, there were people before me that came and really kind of set the pavement. And then I try to do my part. I'm not saying, oh, look at me, but I'm really happy that you're here and that you're inspiring a whole generation of creators and creatives and creative business people to move to this market. So you got a fan.
Thank you. No, I so appreciate that. Yeah. I love that too. Like I love like inspiring people, and that's why I like talking, because I just want people to know like my trajectory was not the same as a lot of other people and it worked for me. And the more that I wish I knew when I was younger would have probably helped me now. And I just want to be able to give that to other people.
Well, I think we're doing it.
Yeah, let's do it. We're doing it.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Courageous Podcast. If you enjoy the show, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts so more people can find us. See you again next week.